live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, we do indeed need to talk about ghosts, just like the man at the start just said, because that was me, yes. And it is Sunday, it is the Sunday sermon time, you know, Sunday the day after Saturday, the day before Monday, twixt in between the two like a beautiful filling of a sandwich. Yes, if you're getting all calendarial about the approach, which I just am, I hope that you're all fantastically well and have had a splendid week of spookdom. We are in October, which of course makes my kneecaps tingle, because it's the specialist time of the year. I would normally sing that, but my voice is a little bit croaky, so I won't spoil your ears with my croaky dulcet tones. However, I will be singing Patreons in a bit, so, you know, you'll still get a bit spoilt. So what have you guys been up to? Tell me. Really? They didn't. Did they? Oh, you want to stop knocking around with them? They sound terrible. What have we done this week? Well, the UK has gone under a second lockdown in the naughty C-word land. So we're not going to talk about that much. But needless to say, I'm going to find myself with a lot more time on my hands again. And I'm debating starting a third podcast. Because, you know, sometimes you can't have enough podcasts. It's like that Alan Partridge thing where it's like, what does this tell you about podcasts? I've got two. Is it perhaps you're making too many? That's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is people like them. Let's make some more. So I'm currently debating making a third podcast. So we have this podcast. Of course, you're listening to it. You know that. We have The Dark Paranormal. And we may have a third podcast. I'm toying with the name Paranormapedia. As it stands, it will be a very light-hearted, jovial, slightly comedic look at what's gone on that week in the paranormal world, along with looking at what Wikipedia offers us in terms of paranormal content. So we'll basically do a letter from the alphabet each episode, and hopefully mock it and find some humour, and also, you know, just get a little bit of an education. The way I'm looking at it is like a very, very silly prompt, if you like. I was going to say it's like an advert for it. Hey, you know when you're at the pub and you want to be in with the cool guys, but they look at you and say, he wouldn't know a poltergeist from a psychopomp. Then you can listen to this podcast and you'll be the coolest kid in school. I mean, I'm saying that tongue in cheek because obviously, if like me, you're a big paranormal fan, it's kind of unlikely you were the most popular kid in school. Or indeed, one of the cool guys. I happen to be both, actually. Yeah, I didn't. Anyway. That's enough waffle and toffle. Yeah, so I hope you're all well. Don't forget, send your stories in during this paranormal period of Halloween to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I, of course, will read them out. You know how the show works. That's exactly how it works. Now, we've just finished recording, me and Becca, a Patreon special. Yes, it's just gone up over on the Patreon website. And we talk about Zach Bagan's Demon House. Yes, and of course, when I say we, I mean I. Becca listened largely and then basically told me it was a load of bollocks, which wasn't very nice. And we also discuss the UK cult classic Ghost Watch, yes, which was out on the BBC in 92, I think. And let me tell you, a 13-year-old Kev watched it and pooed his little pants. Yes, he did. Only because they came up, it was a drama, but they came up with a number on the screen saying, if you're scared or if anything weird's happened, call this number and let us know. So I called the number because I was scared and it was engaged. And what this done was add an element of authenticity to the drama and made me believe it was real and then made me have nightmares for about 2 weeks. So yeah, we discussed that over at Patreon. So if you want to go and listen to that and about 50 other episodes there, yes, a back catalogue. We put out 2 episodes each and every week just for Patreons. If you'd like to go and join that, go on, treat yourself. Then you need to go over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. I'd say now's the time to do it because with Halloween coming up, it's going to get jolly busy over there, I say. So go and make yourself a member of our Patreon team, supporting the show, allowing it to come each and every week into your ear holes. Yes. And that's patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Just like these lovely people have. The ukulele's out. What? What did he say? The ukulele? Yes, he's trying his hand at ukulele, and why the devil not? Well, we want to say thank you to our wonderful new patrons, the 3 lovely people, Chris Murphy, Riley Stearns, and Teresa Wilson, and we're going to do it by the medium of ukulele. Yeah. I want to say thank you
to the following lovely little patrons. Patrons. There's Chris Murphy, Riley Stearns, Teresa Wilson, you are the bloody best. You're keeping the lights on. The only problem that I've got, I don't know where the seventh chord is on a ukulele, but I'm gonna guess that it's this.
Oh, it was? Ah, hooray. Bad note on the vocal, though. There you go. Thank you to our wonderful new patrons. And don't forget, let me put this ukulele down. It's tiny, but there's nowhere to put it. I've said that before. If you'd like to become a patron, then go over to www.patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts. Or you can click the link in the show notes. As I say, there's over 50 episodes over there now. And we put two new ones out each and every week. And as Halloween gets busy, so will the Patreon. Hey, anyway, should we see what's been happening weird in week? I think we shall we? Aye, we shall.
Weekend.
Yes, it's time for Week in Weird, and we have another weird jaunt from my home city. You will recall in recent weeks we've had a story that made it all the way to the New York Post and Fox News, etc., about a green light in the sky over Prescott in Liverpool. Yes, which Becca said was a drone, and it wasn't a bloody drone, it was a UFO. Anyway, one of our wonderful listeners, Paddy Cass, she's been in touch and she said, have you seen this? And I had, but I'd forgot about it. And basically, another story that's making the news from my home city has made the Daily Mirror here in the UK. And what it is twin sisters from Liverpool have recorded something terrifying. Well, they haven't really recorded something terrifying. Anyway, these twin sister ghost hunters called Lindsay and Louise Scott, both 21 because of the twins, were staying at the Adelphi Hotel in Liverpool city centre, which is literally 3 minutes walk from where I live. Now, they were staying there when they heard eerie noises and saw a super creepy handprint on a mirror. Dun dun dun. Allegedly, the hotel has been deemed the UK's most haunted. I don't think it is. You know what? I'll be perfectly honest. It is an opulently beautiful hotel. Or should I say it was. In its past glory, it was magnificent. It's so good that genuinely, when people film the Titanic or, you know, films around that era and they want something to look like six-star regal, they film it in, like, the lobby of the Adelphi because it's so, like, art deco and from that era. It's gone down the pan now, in truth. And it's not a very good hotel, I don't think. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's got the possibility and potential to be great again, but it's currently an average run-of-the-mill hotel. Anyway, they visited the hotel with their friends Rosie and Phoebe, who asked to be only referred to by their first names, on July the 8th of this year. The sisters are from Walton in Liverpool and are urban explorers. And they uploaded a video of their ghost hunt in the Adelphi to their YouTube channel. Now, the Adelphi dates back to 1914. And other guests who have stayed there have claimed to experience paranormal occurrences too. The twins and their friends booked three rooms at the hotel with the aim of capturing any ghoulish activities on camera. Some of the clips show the girls asking any supernatural presence to make a loud noise before banging can be heard in the distance. That's good. The girls also point a handprint on a mirror in one of the corridors and what looks like a dusty handprint smeared on the wall close to the ceiling in one of their bedrooms. Later in the video, the girls can be seen conducting a seance using an upturned wine glass and a candle lodged inside a teacup. Don't know why they've done that, that's a bit weird. This was done when the coronavirus restrictions were eased across the UK, and the girls can be seen exploring the cavernous corridors of the hotel with few other guests around. Speaking to the Liverpool Echo, the twins said, "It was about a week after lockdown. After the lockdown rules started to ease, it added to the extra scare, but we did take precautions. We've always been fascinated with the supernatural. The Adelphi was the first place we got involved in. It was a bonus that the hotel was once named Britain's most haunted, and it's actually on our doorstep." Just to say, the girls don't actually sound like that, but, you know, I do impressions of every other region. I should also do impressions of my home region. So there you go. Well done, ladies. You've made it into this week's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
Oh, Okay, now let's get down to some spooky business, shall we? I think so. Now, you'll recall that one of our regular contributors and great listeners, Nina Peterson, had sent us in a plethora of stories, and she said she had more to come. Well, she sent them in, and these are her final stories. So she says, and they've all been great, so let's see if these follow suit, shall we? So, here's the first. A friend and I decided to play with a Ouija board she had made. I was extremely hesitant and didn't really want to, but she'd made the board a while ago and told me she'd done it plenty of times by herself and nothing had happened, so I agreed. Silly me. This was before I really knew that I was a sensitive. So we start by placing a glass cup on top of her notebook homemade board, where she said something like, "We don't allow any negative entities to come through," and said, "Hello." No response, so we asked if anyone was there, and it moved to hello. I went to take my hand off, and she yelled at me not to. She asked, "What's your name?" And it spelled out JT. We asked JT how old he was, and he replied, 16, the same age as us at the time. We talked with JT a while, asking stupid questions. Then I said I'd had enough, and we said goodbye. When we said goodbye, something downstairs in her kitchen fell, but neither of us wanted to go and find out what it was, so we went to bed. We both had something attached to us starting that night. Random things would happen that we knew was him, but the other stories I'm going to tell you are the worst of them. Dun, 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 dun. And we'll have a little pause in between so we can discuss that one. Yes, so we've got some terror to come, it would appear. But Ouija boards, we just talked in the Patreon about Ouija boards because apparently Poundland is selling them for a pound. And I've been after one. Can't get one for love nor money. But Ouija boards are an interesting thing, aren't they? We all assume that everybody says, the devil's, no, it's the devil's work. Don't do that. It's like patting the bum of the devil. He'll like you and fancy you and want to take you for tea. But none of us know if that's the actual case, do we? Because every time somebody says, shall we do the Ouija board? Somebody goes, no, no, we'll never do that. And as I've said before, if they're so evil and they're so nasty and all this horrific thing can take place, why don't we just do it and film it then? You know, and then we've got evidence and then everyone goes, oh, they don't exist. We can go, really? Well, look at this video of me playing the Ouija board when the devil comes through and forces his horns into my private part. Before, wasn't it? But you know what I mean? Why don't we just do it and prove it once and for all? God damn it. Anyway, I'm not suggesting anybody does the Ouija board, by the way, and especially if you're a youth. If you're a youth, don't do the Ouija board, mainly because your parents will fine me and batter me. But if you're an adult and you're, you know, capable of making your own decisions, then go to Poundland. Give them a pound, take a Ouija board, summon Satan. That's all I'm asking you to do. Okay, thank you though, Nina. Good story. You see, the rest are going to be even scarier, so let's find out if that's the truth. I was sleeping at my mum's house about 2 months after the first story. It was a small little apartment made on the second floor of a house, and my bedroom had a weird little fake window that looked into the kitchen area. I woke up one night, no idea the time, and felt extreme fear for no apparent reason. I slightly sat up and looked into the kitchen, where I saw a gigantic, lanky, in brackets, think Slenderman type, black mass walking from my mum's room and through the kitchen. I sat there frozen in fear when it looked at me with glaring red eyes. I quickly lay back down and covered myself with the covers and tried to pretend I didn't see it. I didn't see it again until 3 years later. Wow. And if ever there was a starter for a meal of an aperitif of lovely stories, it would be that. I'm very intrigued to see what the main course brings, aren't you? Well, let's jump right in. 3 years later, it was All Hallows Eve, or the night before Halloween, where the veil between the spiritual plane and ours is the thinnest in my experience. I was hanging out with some friends in their backyard around 8 or 9 at night. One of the friends and I went to sit in my car to smoke a cigarette and talk before I left, while the others went inside. As we're talking, I feel something extremely negative come over me, a feeling I had known to associate with any time JT would be around, by this time anyway, after dealing with him for so long. I tried to ignore it when my friend said, "Do you feel that?" I had no idea he was sensitive, so I asked him what, and he said, "That negativity, where did it come from?" I nervously chuckled and said, "Oh, that's JT. He's been attached to me for some time. I haven't been able to shake him." I started telling him about how it all started when out of the corner of my eye, I see something move in the trees that line the backyard. I look forward but don't see anything. My friend is about to head inside so I can leave, so I hop out of the car to give him a hug, say goodbye, and he quietly says, "Do you see that?" I look over into the trees where I thought I saw something, and I see a gigantic 8-foot black mass with glowing red eyes standing there staring at us. I just knew it was JT. I started panicking because I hadn't seen him like that in 3 years, and my friend grabbed me and told me to calm down. He said, "On your way home, keep telling it that it's not welcome in your life and that you follow God. Tell it is no longer welcome." I was not a very religious person, but I decided to give it a go, because when he said that, the mass disappeared. As I was driving home, I was on edge. I looked at my rearview mirror and saw him standing in the road behind me. I started repeating what my friend said over and over again, until I was home and I haven't seen or felt JT since. I apologise for the length of these and how many I've had. I have other little ones. If you ever want to hear them, let me know. Thanks again. Love you guys. Thank you, Nina. Well, Nina, bugger me, as they say, bugger me, because I am terrified by that 8-foot black mass with red eyes. I mean, as if an 8-foot black mass isn't scary enough. Let's give him red eyes. Yes, he's probably got fangs as well, hasn't he? And a Ouija board on his back. That is amazing, Nina. And of course, we want to hear your little stories too. Please send them in. You know the address. contact@talkaboutghost.com. Yeah, what was that? What is JT? In the UK, JT is the nickname for John Terry, the Chelsea captain of old. And I very much doubt he's 8 foot tall and a black mass. But, you know, he hasn't, may have changed since he was last on TV. But that is terrifying. JT, what could it stand for? Justin Timberlake, maybe? Maybe he's become possessed and loitering in woods. What else? Could be just Trevor. Just an 8 foot guy called Trevor. Please be my friend. I'm sorry about my terrifying appearance and red eyes. I have conjunctivitis. Yes. And gigantism. Yes. And I'm made of smoke. No one wants to be my friend. I'm just Trevor. Maybe. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's the devil himself. I don't know. But either way, thank you, Nina. That was a great trio of tremendous terrifying tales. Yes. Shall we have some more? Yes, I think we shall. And our next email comes in from the wonderful Rin Lemure, and she has some wonderful cats. I've seen them on Facebook and they are delightful. So hello to your cats too. And her email is entitled New England Weirdness. Yes. She says, "Hi Kev."
Hi.
"Hi Becca."
Hi.
Oh no, wait, I can say hi myself, can I? "Hi Kev."
Hi.
"Hi Becca."
Hi.
"I was looking at old photos and reminded of this incident, so I thought I would share the willies." Well, thank you. I've never heard a phrase like that before. I've tried that once before and got arrested. But here's your email, Rin. Let's see. "I grew up in the country. Think pine trees, blackberry fields, ice skating, gravel pits and silence at night. I've never tipped a cow, but I've caught lightning bugs. My best friend, I'll call her T, was in a different small town, but we were in the same school. We were in high school. It was the late 70s. Neither of us had our license, and we were bored. We were at T's house, and because of this, we had access to not one landline, but an extension too, both with long enough cords that we could be in the same room while using the phones. As I said, it was the country, so the moderate amount of trouble we could get into was making fake phone calls. Our twist was that one would call, whilst the other would hold the phone to a tape recorder so we could review the calls later on. Our banter was that we were calling from a new radio station, Wang FM. In brackets, I know, childish, but it gave an extra naughty edge to our shenanigans. And could we ask what kind of music they listened to? Country, late 70s, easily entertained. One woman said that she didn't like that ring-dang-doo music. Naturally, we were encouraged. We'd been taking turns to mash the buttons and spew our banter, and been at it less than half an hour because we were still on a single side of an hour capacity tape, when T took her turn to call. The line started to ring. I picked up the extension, put the receiver to the mic, and hit record. "Hi," T said into the phone. "I'm calling from..." She stammered, and it's not like her to not be able to talk, so I looked over to her, and she looked shocked. From... She was frozen. She looked scared, but she's still trying to get through our planned banter. A new radio station. Suddenly, she got the whole thing out, then thanked the person on the phone, and then hung up. I hit stop on the recorder. "What was that?" I asked. She shook her head. I rewound the tape, then hit play. The man on the other end of the line. "Hello?" "T." "Hi, I'm calling from..." The man in a higher pitch. "Hello?" "T." From... Man in an even higher pitch. "Hello?" "T." A new radio station. Then a woman. "Hello?" "T. I'm calling from a new radio station, Wang FM. Would you like to tell me the kind of music you listen to?" Woman. "No, thank you." "T. Thanks." What the F was that? It was one person. We would have heard if the phone was being passed around. That was the last time we played with the phone. We listened to that call over and over, but even over 40 years later, we still don't have any sane idea of what was going on. I wish I still had that tape, but it was lost in a cross-country move. Thank you so much for taking the time to read this. From Rin. Wow, Rin. So what are we surmising from that, with it being one person, that this man like freaked out and somehow morphed into a woman on the phone? Or was it some direct call to the dead? Maybe. I don't know. I do like these stories about telephones in general, because there's something I do think we'll find. Not us, we won't. Well, we might, you never know. But I do think we'll find that electricity has something to do with contacting the dead. I think it was Edison who was working on a Spiritcom machine when he died, a way of communicating with the dead. And because it's often, there's a lot of stories, isn't there, where like the telephone rings, pick it up, static, or like your granddad's voice, who's just died, "Put the bacon on." "Granddad just called and asked me to put the bacon on, but he's dead." That sort of stuff. And I'm all about it. So, I was going to say. On the Patreon episode, we talk about Demon House. You know, the Zach Bagans film. I watched it the other day. I liked it, to be fair. I think he's a plant, an absolute plant pot. But I liked it. But, and we didn't discuss this, so I can't tell you, so I'm not spoiling any patronage for those lovely patrons out there. But there's a bit in the film where the museum that he's got, you know, the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum that's in LA or Vegas or somewhere. The house that he put it in, he bought from some woman who died in the house apparently, and she was making a machine that could talk to other dimensions, and it's a wonderful thing. It's like loads of little boxes with circles in them, like holes running through them, and then she would put frequencies through all these, and they were all linked up in this like circle. Very strange, very occulty, very paranormal. But I do think electricity's got a lot to answer for when it comes to the dead just arriving. It's like, "Hi, I'm sorry I drained all your battery. I needed some power so I could say hello. Oop, must go, I've run out." So I don't know what we could do, but maybe I'll take a load of electrical equipment when we go to our haunted hotel for Halloween. Lots of H's in that sentence. Anyway, shall we have a midpoint? Yes, I think we shall. Can you keep the noise down, please? We're trying to have a sleep. "No, I'm afraid I cannot, for I'm having a job at my papa today." Boom, 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 boom. I joke, of course. To all you Germans out there, thank you for keeping party music going and alive. I bow to you. I just did. You couldn't see that. Why am I bowing to no one? Weirdo. Anyway, it's the midpoint. Hooray, we've reached it. Oh, that was me just falling off a chair. I am upstairs. The neighbour's cat is in the room. She's looking at me as in to say, "Why are you talking into that piece of plastic?" And I'm like, "This is Mike, my friend. Mike, cat, Mike." Anyway, you will have heard at the start, I'm thinking about doing a third podcast. Yes, because, you know, I just don't have enough podcasts at the moment. And this podcast, I'm thinking of calling it Paranormapedia. So, let me know if you think that's a good idea. I'm not sure. I think it will be if I do it right, and I think it won't be if I do it wrong. But that's with everything in life, isn't it? If you make a bolognese, I think it'll be nice if I do it right. It won't be if I make it wrong. So, I'm unsure, but I'm erring towards, yes, I'm going to do a third podcast. Because if it's a little bit... The idea behind it, let me just say, is that if it's a little bit more comedic and just me waffling and trying to make jokes about paranormal things of that week and about paranormal topics on Wikipedia, which is the point, hence the name, then I can just waffle with that. There's not much prep that's needed for that. So in theory, whereas these episodes can take upward of like 3 hours sometimes just to string together, mainly due to me mispronouncing words from emails, that should be relatively quick to do to get like a half hour episode out. So I don't know. I'm in two minds. So maybe I will. I more than likely will. In fact, I probably definitely am. I don't know. I do know. Why are you lying, Kev? Anyway, so yeah, do let me know if you think that's a good idea. I had a little Instagram vote because after 3 years of being on Instagram, I discovered how to do the vote feature. Yes, Mr. Luddite over here patting himself on the back. So I've done a vote and people unanimously said, yes, it's a good idea. And I think I'm going to side with them. Yeah, don't know. I do know. Why do I keep saying don't know? Stop arguing with yourself. I can't. I'm in two minds. That's the whole point. Anyway, that's enough waffle for this midpoint. Let's get back to some scary stories. I just thought I'd put that out there. Yeah. So you can mull over it. Yeah. I'm also very excited because the new PlayStation 5 is coming out. I'm not going to bang on about computers because it's not a computer game podcast. But needless to say, my pre-order is in. And on November the 18th, I think, I will be playing FIFA 21 in PlayStation 5 glory. Yes, I will. And I probably won't leave the house for a month, which would be quite like the last six, really. Anyway, you don't want to know about that. You want to know about ghosts, which is why you're here. So, oh, don't forget, it is Halloween. We're going to be doing loads of stuff towards the end of October because that's what paranormal podcasts do. So if you've got a scary story specifically for Halloween, send it in, mark it Halloween, and send it to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. And I, of course, will read it out. On Wednesday coming up, we are going to do We Don't Need to Talk About Ghosts. And I say we, I think it'll just be me, mainly because Becca's back in full-time work, which is great. But I'm going to do my nod to the podcasts that have led to me doing podcasting. So I'm going to be talking a lot about other podcasts out there, which ones are great, which one, I won't say any which I think are bad because that's a terrible thing to do. But I am, it's going to be my homage to podcasting on Wednesday. As it says, as the title says, it won't be about ghosts. It might be about paranormal podcasts because that's mainly all I listen to. But it'll be just about podcasts and some of the great people out there doing podcasts that you really should check out. Because, you know, I have an audience and it's only fair that good people finish that sentence, Kev. I can't. I've been distracted because the sky looks just like the sky from the start of The Simpsons. Anyway, yes, it's only right that good podcasters should get a good audience. And you guys are a wonderful audience. So I think that's only fair. Anyway, enough of this twaddle. Let's get back to some spook. See you on t'other side. And we are back once again with the ill behaviour. Now, our next story, indeed our final story, is worthy of great merit and being the final story to send you away terrified because it's bloody great. It's a belter. And it's an anonymous story and it goes thus. Hi, Kevin. Hi. Hope you're well and keeping busy. I am, you know, three podcasts potentially, so I am. Thank you, Anonymi. Right off the bat, I need to tell you that I am keeping the story anonymous and change the names. This is because they are family and have been through a lot and I have the people involved on my private Facebook profile. Well, that is absolutely fair enough. I must tell you that this has happened to my Aunt Emily and Uncle Jack, as well as to my disabled cousin, Ben. My aunt and uncle are both retired. My uncle was once a bobby and my aunt a nurse. Bobby, for American listeners, is a policeman. None of them have any interest in the paranormal and have far too much drama in their lives to want any attention. This all started late last year. It's just three of them in a bungalow in the east of England near the beach. A very, very, very quiet village-type place. Perfect for my cousin Ben, who struggles with mobility due to his disabilities. When it started, my aunt and uncle had been living there for little over a year. My cousin had been in a supportive care home, but moved in with them close to October/November. I'll get straight to the weird things. Little things would move. Remotes, cups, books. These could be explained by the rational mind. But once, a heavy doorstop had moved from one side of the room to the other whilst they were all out. When they returned, my sceptic auntie said that they must have knocked it. It's a bloody heavy doorstop that was by the back door and now in the doorway of the kitchen. Now, some people might go straight to my cousin Ben, maybe craving a bit of attention. I can say that this is genuinely not the case. He is paralysed down his left side and very frail. Plus, he too is a sceptic. He even called Ghostbusters a load of old bollocks when I brought round a copy to watch with him when we were kids. So, things moved. They rationalised the cause and moved on. My uncle became a bit more concerned about these things, though, as the weeks went on. He often heard noises, not just at night, but during the day. He once said he heard a drawer slam somewhere in the house whilst he was alone. He checked, but found nothing. Give him a fright, I bet. He told this story to Ben and Emily, but he was laughed off. One night, my uncle heard moving in the bungalow. He described it to me as a crowd moving in the hallway, but he checked in case it was Ben. No one was there. It can't be the house settling down as it's just a bungalow. Another time, they'd all been out somewhere together, and when they got home, the cooker's hobs were all fully blast on. Definitely something they didn't do by mistake. After this event, they started to take things a little bit more serious. There were plenty of sleepless nights, I'm sure. Ben struggled a lot during this time. He was now hearing strange noises around his room and in the hallway. He would hear something moving by his window. He tried to be brave and take pictures, but there was no luck. My aunt, the skeptic, couldn't really believe anything and tried to dismiss it all. Until one event that gave her the fright of her life. She was preparing lunch in the kitchen for the men in the living room. In their kitchen is a fancy kitchen island with a marble counter. She had her back to the island when she heard a sigh, as if someone was disappointed. She turned around expecting to see my uncle, but there was no one there. Then, very quickly and suddenly, there was a smash next to her, just a foot away. She screamed out loud. My uncle rushed in to find my aunt shaking and a giant crack and imprint in the marble surface of the island. But nothing had fallen or even been near, and my aunt isn't Mike Tyson or in the position to start smashing up her own precious kitchen. They couldn't explain this one. They tried to ignore the little things vanishing and movements in the house throughout the day and night. They would all hear a gathering outside their bedrooms at night. Then a whole new issue raised. Electrical items would either drain or completely break for no reason. Now, they liked their gizmos, smart TVs, iPads, the latest iPhones, etc. Some of these items were brand new and quite expensive, but now utterly useless. Lights would switch on and off throughout the day. The day. So they started to find someone to help in their area, in brackets, only after their iPad broke, not when the marble smashed. I don't have the details of who they contacted or what happened, but someone did see them in late February of this year and all seemed okay, I think. I became more busy during lockdown and hadn't spoken to them to see how they were or to get more spooky details, but I did visit recently to see my cousin, of course. My mum pre-warned me that during lockdown, my uncle had discovered he had a cancerous lump on his neck. Amazingly, he was treated very quickly. But times had been especially tough for all of them. My aunt's new car had just stopped working altogether, which left them stuck in a rural village, and my cousin was struggling more so with not being able to go out and interact with other people. I know it's been tough for lots of people, but I really felt for them, not just because they were family. I told them about your podcast and asked if anything else had happened in the house. In brackets, crass, I know. My uncle very sternly said, "Don't say anything. We don't talk about it." Fair enough. Later, when I was with my cousin alone, I asked how he was. I noticed he looked quite bad and drained. Ben told me, "Oh, we still have something. That's what wrecked my mum's car. We bought a rabbit as a pet a few months back, and it was dead within a day." Scared shitless, I bet. I asked what he'd seen, but he told me nothing. I just hear noises like scratching all the time. Ben then said, "Bet it's the rabbit trying to get out. Shame, really." I left him to his own devices and went back to my parents. But I have to admit that when I had visited, it had been very hot there recently. But strangely, their house was cold. It felt like cold was being pressed upwards. I know that sentence makes no sense, but that's my personal feeling, and it's hard to explain, and it was horrible. I felt it as I was saying my goodbyes, not when I first went into the house. I spoke to my mum about it, and she said pretty much the same as my uncle. I told her about the rabbit, and my parents looked at each other. Then my dad said, quite harshly, "Same thing happened to that dog of theirs. That didn't last long." My dad, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I don't feel I should push anyone for any information. They really have had a terrible time, not just with spooky stuff. But they didn't mind me sharing as long as no one bothers them. I fully understand. But if I do hear anything else, be sure that I will tell you and the listeners. For their sake, I hope I don't. Keep up the great work, Kev, and all the best to you and Becca. Anonymous. Wow, wow, wee wow. That is absolutely petrifying. It really is. Like, this is why I thought I'd leave this to last. Well, for that, and also because a few days later, there was a follow-up email. "Hi, Kevin. Sorry, quick follow-up on the story I sent. My aunt and uncle are now moving out of the house due to stress. I will call them soon for more details, but my mum said something really bad happened. Again, I hope there isn't more to follow for their sake, but I'll let you know. Anonymous." Wow. I think we can all agree the bride doesn't just look beautiful. The bride, if she's heard that story, is shitting herself in the pantry, if she owns a pantry. That story, Anonymous, is amazing. And I think it's a perfect way to sign off the first podcast of the Halloween season. Yes, I do. Wow. I'm a bit speechless by that because it's so bloody terrifying. You know what? The word, when I'm reading that, because as I say, as you know, I don't pre-read these. Probably should. It'd be easier to edit. But I don't pre-read these because I want to get the emotion that you guys get when you listen to them. And I want to be scared at the same time you guys are scared. Because then it's a little bit more, I don't know, synchronicity'd, if that's not even a word. But you know what I mean? I'm a bit more in tune with you guys. And when you guys hear something that makes you go, it will make me go at the same time. You know what bit really got me with that? When I said it, where he said they can hear a gathering outside the room. That's just eerie. What an eerie word, a gathering. I mean, it's not generally an eerie word. You know, if they went, there was a gathering of bunnies. You go, oh, look at those lovely bunnies. But if you say, like, outside my room, it sounded like there was a gathering. Anyway, I'll leave you on that shiverful bombshell. And I shall catch you all on Wednesday when I will give you my love of podcasts. Yes, I will. Until then, don't forget, guys, if you want the other episodes and 2 extra episodes per week, go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. As I said earlier, today me and Becca have recorded and uploaded us discussing Zach Bagan's Demon House and the BBC classic Ghost Watch. It's mainly just me talking about it and Becca saying, what a load of bollocks. But it's still worth a listen. And if you have scary stories you want to share during this Halloween season, don't forget to send them in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com, as well as any other correspondence you want to send. And I think that's it. Yeah. Okay, guys. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other. Copyright Jerry Springer, 1999. through to 1990, because we'll do that backwards. Okay, guys, I love you all. Tell you bye.